Hey, this is Neil Bawa. If you want to learn how to use your axe to build an empire, you should be listening to the Small Axe podcast with my good friend, Nico.
Hey guys, it's your boy Nico here from the Small Axe podcast. I want to show you how to use your small axe to build a lasting empire. You see, not everybody begins their investing career with millions of dollars, a huge network of investors, or the knowledge necessary to become successful in this space, and that's okay. What I focus on here on this podcast is helping you hone your skills, sharpen your tools to become the best investor that you can be. Now, I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy this show. If you have any questions or you want to reach out to me or the guest, feel free to do so. Love you guys. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Small Axe Podcast. I am so excited for today's guest. Guys, you know Mr. Neil Bawa. He is known as the mad scientist of multifamily. And I feel really, really honored that I get to speak to him today because he's got a really interesting topic that he wants to share with us, something that is extremely important, and he is leading the charge. So let's get right down to it. Neil Bawa is a technologist who is universally known in the real estate circles as the mad scientist of multifamily. Besides being one of the most in-demand speakers in commercial real estate, Neil is a data guru, a process freak, and an outsourcing expert. Neil treats his $508 million portfolio as an ongoing experiment in efficiency and optimization. The mad scientist lives by two mantras. His first mantra is that we can only manage what we can measure. His second mantra is that the data beats gut feel by a million miles. These mantras and a dozen other disruptive beliefs drive profit for his 440 plus investors. Neil serves as CEO and founder at Grow Capitus, an iconic data-driven commercial real estate investment company. Grow Capitus's 28-person team acquires and builds multifamily and commercial properties across the U.S. with more than 440 active investors and over 2,000 reviewing our projects. The Grow Capitus portfolio currently spans across 10 states with 22 projects, one sold, and 3,300 units in beds. The powerful Grow Capitus brand has a cult-like following of data-driven investors. The result? Completed equity raises of $146 million for multifamily, mixed-use, and industrial acquisitions in the last 18 months, over 3,000 units purchased. Grow Capitus is on track to close another 1,500 units in the next 12 months. We got to get this show rolling. Hey, Mr. Neil Bawa, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me on the show, Nico. Great to be here.
You know what, man? I've been following you forever. You were probably one of the first people that I began following. I love your data. I love everything that you're about. I took your courses on Udemy. Really think that everything you're doing is phenomenal. But do you think you can go, before we get into everything else, can you go a little bit more in depth on your background?
Sure. I am a Silicon Valley-based geek that's bringing data and analytics to the real estate syndication business, about a $900 million portfolio, half of which is development, about 800 active investors. They're mostly dorks and geeks and nerds like me, Nico.
Well, good. I love dorks and geeks and nerds because that's how we learn and grow, right? That's where we get our information from, our background, and then we build upon that. So excellent. So what are you working on these days, Neil?
So, you know, lots of different things. So there's two or three different buckets that we're working on. One is built to rent. I really enjoy that. I think it's an alternative to apartments. I don't think it's going to shake the apartment market in any way. So that's very fun. But the one that's really caught my eye and the one that's I'm really talking about today because I think it's incredible is called real estate tokenization, also known as blockchain real estate.
You know what? It's very timely that you're bringing this topic up because there are people in my community that are super excited and actually almost nervous to talk about this. And this is something that I am unknowledgeable on. And I would love for you to kind of go a little bit more in depth on it.
Absolutely. So you're from the Jake and Gino community, right? They're both friends of mine. And then, you know, I talked with them about this a year and a half ago when it was just an idea. And of course, now it's all happening in real time. So it's great to share this with the Jake and Gino community. So real estate tokenization, right? So you look at real estate, $326 trillion of real estate exists within the world. that's far larger than the worldwide stock market. Real estate is unquestionably the number one asset in the world, right? When you look at multiples, though, the cap rates of real estate, when you compare that with the cap rates of stock markets, I know stock markets don't have cap rates, but if there's a way to do an apples to apples comparison, it's inevitable that most people will say that stocks are valued higher in terms of their multiples of income than real estate is. And you say, why? I mean, real estate's a very tangible asset. You know, you can touch it, you can feel it, people really love it. Why are stock multiples higher? And the answer is stocks are liquid and real estate is not. And so we sort of did this whole syndication thing, and you're part of this syndication, you know, community of people where we basically said, well, we'd like to bring these real estate assets to a bunch of investors. And we succeeded. You know, there's a million investors investing in syndication. The problem is we only did half of our jobs. So we democratized the process of, you know, taking these big buildings and making them available to accredited and non-accredited investors. But then on the other hand, once these people invest in these projects, they can't resell them. It's not liquid. If tomorrow you change your mind on Google stock, you know, 5 minutes on your phone and Google stock is sold, right? Whether it's sold at a profit or a loss is another matter, but it's sold, it's liquid. You can't really do that with real estate. We've seen some tiny examples here of a little bit of liquidity here and a little bit of liquidity there. But I would say out of 10,000 syndication shares, 9,999 are illiquid, right? And that's what creates the premium for stocks. That's why stocks give you less returns than real estate. And so for the longest time, the holy grail of real estate has been how do we make real estate liquid? Right? And people have made various attempts in the past. People have created, you know, exchanges and things like that, gotten together in, you know, alliances and tried to do it. All of those attempts have failed. Now, the reason for that is because people were trying to build the backend infrastructure for this. As it happens, someone else built that infrastructure in 2009, right? So the guy named, you know, the guy that basically invented Bitcoin built something far more important than Bitcoin. It's a cryptocurrency. It has value, trillions of dollars of value. But he built a backend called the blockchain. And his idea was not the crypto idea that was the bigger one. The idea was this concept of a democratized, immutable chain on the internet that no government or no central authority controls. And so the word decentralized is very key to Bitcoin. And so when he did that, most people immediately realized, yeah, this crypto thing is good. Let's throw some money at it. It's going to go up and down like crazy, like it has been recently. But the bigger idea is this thing, this concept of blockchain, this concept of an immutable ledger on the internet that no one could ever touch is much more powerful. So people started doing stuff with it. And in 2015, Ethereum, the second currency, came out, and it had smart contracts for the blockchain, because putting something on the blockchain wasn't very powerful if you didn't have rules. How to put it there, how to keep it there, right? And so we came up with this concept where there was this blockchain with smart contracts. And the moment Ethereum came out, within a year, people were building apps on them. Some of the early apps were real estate. So people started to want to tokenize assets. And sometime, I believe in 2017, the first real estate asset was tokenized, might have been a small single family home. And then in 2018, the first asset was tokenized in New York City by a company named Slice. And they tokenized a multifamily, and they wanted to basically offer it to foreign investors. And that failed, by the way. It was a miserable failure, and they had to put it kind of on the side because foreign investors back in 2017 were not comfortable enough with the blockchain and with buying these kinds of assets, right? But as time went on and more apps were built on the blockchain, most people realized that the blockchain is vastly superior. Because today, you know, Nico, for example, buys a multifamily building and he's got 30 investors, okay? And the cap table for those 30 investors, the people that invested in Nico's project, is basically on Nico's Google Drive or even on Nico's computer, right? And if tomorrow Nico dies in a fire, that information is lost forever, right? So everyone knew that this was a vulnerability, because that doesn't happen with stock, because stock markets, right? I know they're centralized, but that information is very safe and secure. So people realized that if we could do syndications where we, instead of having $100,000 or $50,000 syndications, the same people, you and me, we instead tokenized the asset, put it on the blockchain. So it's not some Google Drive file that shows which investor has invested what. And then we provide liquidity. And you might say, yeah, but you know, liquidity means like millions and millions of people buying stuff from the stock exchange. I don't have millions of investors. Here's the good news. This is why the timing now is critical. Enough third-party secondary exchanges have already opened and enough assets have been purchased. So that's now real. T0, for example, a company called T-Z-E-R-O, T0.com, check them out, is already doing taking assets that have already, you know, been purchased a year ago. So Nico bought a property in Georgia about a year ago. Okay. So now a year has passed. He's, you know, he sold out all of the equity. And now he's like, I want to give liquidity to my investors. So he goes to T0 and says, okay, I want to put this on your platform, right? I'm going to create coins. And you know, there's like three or four intermediaries there. One guy creates the coin, another one basically keeps record. And then T0, though, they provide the eyeballs. The new investors. And here's the most important part. Here's the, like the 10 seconds that you didn't expect me to say. Do you know that 1 year after you've sold out your initial offering, you can actually sell tokens to non-accredited investors without checking their status? Accredited, non-accredited, anybody, anyone can buy that token 1 year after the original raise was completed. So this isn't about raising money. But tokenization is about liquidity. Now, of course, you can raise money in other ways. There's lots and lots of different ways where you can use tokenization to raise money because you can always sell tokens at any point of time to accredited investors, right? But then you might say, well, yeah, well, you know, if I'm only selling to accredited investors, I might have, well, just sell a syndication share. Why would I sell a token? The key thing is that what we have seen is that when these tokens get to the web and enough tokens from enough real estate providers get to the web, real estate then becomes liquid. T0, this company, is now worth tens of billions of dollars because every VC believes they are the platform that is going to democratize it. Not me, not Neil Bawa, not Nico Salgado. But if T0 succeeds, we're all rich. Why? Because as liquidity, true liquidity happens, the number of people that can pour money into real estate increases massively, right? So the guy who says, yeah, I might need my money in 6 to 9 months, but I'm going to give some money to Nico because I can always trade it on T0. That group is much larger than the people that have been giving us money, Nico. So all of a sudden, the number of people that play in our world massively increases. And also, if it truly becomes liquid, which I think it is going to in the next 24 months, where real estate is going to become liquid. When it does, when it becomes liquid and we have this liquidity and people can trade their assets, here's the beauty. At that point, the value should start to rise for all real estate traded assets. It's an all ships rising effect because it's a liquid product that can be bought and sold and traded. At no point am I thinking that real estate is going to be like, you know, Bitcoin, like go doubles and quadruples and go up to 10x, 100x. I've seen no evidence of that kind of stuff because essentially what you're doing is you're tokenizing a security and the value is approximately equal to the underlying security. So you can't expect it to double or quadruple or 10x. Anyone who thinks that real estate tokens are going to do that is a little crazy. So as far as I'm concerned though, so we're not issuing coins, ICOs. We're not issuing NFTs where, you know, we can make a monkey and another monkey is worth 100x more. That's none of that stuff is what we're doing. What we're doing is we're going from a completely illiquid asset class to a liquid asset class. What we're going is to a small number of accredited investors that we have to verify the heck out of, to a year later, 1 year after that, being able to just simply list it on an exchange and have anyone buy it. Nico's sister only has $100. She could buy a $50 worth of Nico's project without any verification requirements from us because a year has passed. And just so you know, here's the cool part. It's a year for the US. It's only 3 months for Europe. So now you've got people with massive amounts of Bitcoin profits, not lately, Bitcoin losses, but normally, but you know, obviously these people have huge amounts of Bitcoin, huge amounts of Ethereum that's gone up in value 100x or 1000x. Now these people have access to high quality real estate with absolute guaranteed proof of ownership that even you can't change, even though you're the issuer. Because once it's up on the blockchain, you can't take it down.
It's phenomenal, Neil. Everything that you're saying is like mind-blowing. And it makes so much sense. You know, why hasn't this been happening in the past? I guess the technology just wasn't available or the thought process wasn't available.
why wasn't there an iPhone before 2008?
Right.
Because convergence of technologies, hardware, software had to get to a certain point. And then there was an iPhone. We are now seeing that conversion happens with tens of thousands of applications being written on the blockchain, and thousands of them are real estate applications, right? This has nothing to do with cryptocurrency. It has everything to do with the back end of cryptocurrency, the blockchain.
Well, that's a very important factor, because some people are still skeptical about cryptocurrency, and they're going to try to, we don't want to necessarily intermingle or relate the two. That, you know, what you're talking about is different, and I love it. And there's always been a struggle with how do we easily get foreign investors into these syndications? And, you know, typically people would go through different types of hoops just to make it happen. And now you're saying that within...
It was never worth it. It was never worth it. I have never met one guy that said it was worth my time. Mm-hmm. People did it sometimes just for props, but it was never worth it. But now everything is going to be different, right? And people ask me questions like, oh my God, I could lose my tokens. You know, just like I've heard about people losing their Bitcoin from their wallets and getting hacked. Yes, but this is not an ICO. It's not a coin offering. It's a security STO, a securitized token offering. The issuer, Nico, who's the one that's the general partner in the project, can go onto the platform, cancel the tokens that are being stolen, and just simply issue new ones. As simple as that. As simple as you know, if somebody lost their proof of you having sold a 100K syndication share to them, you can also always issue a new receipt, right? Oh, I lost my share. I know I have 100K with you. Can you please give me a new receipt? Sure, here it is, right? Just as simple as that. You can say, oh, you got hacked. Show me proof. I want to make sure I can see proof. And I'm going to then reissue new tokens to you, right? That's as simple as that. And then there are people like, I don't want my money in crypto. I'm a real estate investor. Well, think about it. If you gave Nico $100,000, what did Nico do with that money? He bought the same exact building that he was going to buy anyway. So didn't all of your money still go into the building? Well, so what's on the blockchain? It's your proof of ownership. We're not tokenizing your dollars unless you sell them. We're only tokenizing your proof of ownership. But that proof of ownership is so powerful that one day if you do need money and you need it quick, now you can turn it into money, right? And the day you turn it into money, yes, somebody will buy your share in crypto, but so the money that will come into your wallet will still be crypto. It'll be Bitcoin, Ether. But 3 minutes later, you could say, click, click, move it to my bank. So you only have exposure to crypto for what, 5 minutes after you sold your share, right? 5 minutes, but crypto is not that volatile to fall or rise in 5 minutes, right? So, but the rest of the time, you're still dealing in good old US dollars, green money, right? Not digital currency, unless you wish to keep it there, in which case, well, that's your choice. You can leave all of that money from this sale of your share in crypto. But that's your choice. But otherwise, that's it. That's the whole crypto angle that people will pay you. But here's the cool thing. You heard that China banned Bitcoin, right? Right. All right. So, and you've heard that there's like over 100 billionaires, you know, Bitcoin billionaires. Well, these people are now really terrified, right? Because they're like, oh my God, I've got all this Bitcoin and these guys are banning Bitcoins. They'll come take my Bitcoin away. So guess what they want right now? Anything non-digital. They want to buy a physical asset. And they don't want to buy it in China because the Chinese could simply say, hey, you made this money from Bitcoin. We banned Bitcoin, so we'll take this money away from you, right? They want something that has nothing to do with China. And so all around the world, people that are making huge fortunes in mining Bitcoin or mining Ethereum are like, now I want something physical and tangible. And they're running around and they've got already the wallets, the connections, the blockchain, all of those security pieces, the infrastructure pieces, all got done. And now we're simply leveraging it, right? So the coin exchanges, the centralized marketplaces, none of them were built for real estate, but isn't real estate one of the best uses, right? That's why this stuff is working, because we didn't actually have to do any of the initial work. We didn't have to do the coins. We didn't have to create the blockchains. We didn't have to create the protocols in the way that they work together. As long as we stay Reg D compliant, 506C, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now we've got this thing ready-made built. And you might say, why haven't people done this before? Because it wasn't ready. The infrastructure to tokenize, to actually mint the coins, was not ready 1 year ago. But I can tell you, I've interviewed six different infrastructure providers that can mint coins. All of them didn't have a live client a year ago, and all of them have a dozen clients going live in the next 2 months. So the pitcher's walking up to the mound, he's kind of moving his arm around, and he's about to deliver the first pitch of a 9-inning game. And it's a $326 trillion market. If we tokenize 10% of it or even 5% of it, that's an astonishing difference in liquidity. It changes real estate forever, everywhere in the world.
I love it and I believe it. Neil, this is phenomenal stuff. Let's talk briefly about the process for both the investor as well as the syndicator.
Yeah. Well, the syndicator basically has to make a decision. And that decision is, how important is it for me, right, to give liquidity to my investors? And you know that the process is a year long to kind of sell the shares first. So a lot of syndicators are thinking, I just want to sell my token and not sell it to individual investors. No, tokenization is not about initial liquidity. It's not about you going and getting a bunch of people from the web. Okay. You're still doing your job, which is to sell shares to your existing investors. But in the long run, it means a lot more. Yes, those tokens can go up in value. Why? Because now you're showing proof that the building is doing better, its rents are going up, so the token should also go up in value. You see what I mean? So in the short run, what does a syndicator have to do? It's like, if I give liquidity to my investors, they will invest more with me. Of course they will. Anything liquid is going to attract more investments, right? And so when somebody comes to you and says, Nico, I want to invest $2,000 with you. And you're like, no, my minimum is $50,000. But I'm going to send you a link. Here's a project I did 1 year ago. Okay. You'll see tokens listed there. Go ahead and buy $2,000 worth of that project. Even the update, everything I've done with this property over the last year is up there. Now, every one of those people that are walking away from Nico today are now Nico's investors, right? So you've got a secondary market of people buying your assets, massively increasing the number of investors that you can get. Does it work for you in the short run? No. Is it massively powerful in the long run? Absolutely. Here's the most important thing. If you don't do it over the next 2 years, you're going to be at a ridiculous disadvantage. You'll be the only guy not liquid. This is not a choice. This is something that has to happen. This is a new way of doing things, and everyone's going to have to do it. I'm saying all of the major syndicators in the United States are going to be tokenizing and issuing liquidity within 2 to 3 years. That's it. It's going to take us about 3 years. And beyond that point, nobody will think about not doing this.
What happens to the traditional syndication model of like a five-year hold? Is that now extended?
No, not at all. So remember, you're the issuer, right? So your business plan for the property doesn't change at all. And you might say, yeah, but I sold a bunch of tokens. How do I get them back? You don't. There's a wonderful thing called a smart contract, right? So the smart contract says that when Nico is ready to sell his building, which doesn't have to be 5 years, could be 2 years, Nico can go ahead and sell the building as long as he provides the share of profits for the tokens back to the person who bought the token. So the honest answer is, it's just like a share. You still have control, right? So nothing changes in your business plan, Nico. Absolutely nothing changes, right? The only thing that happens is if the token catches fire for whatever reason, and it rises a lot in value, some of your investors may already exit before you exit, which is great because they'll now give you money. Because they're like, oh, I already exited, man, Nico, where's the next one, right? So 3 years from now, imagine a situation where your project, maybe 3 or 4 years from now, you have a project that you started 3 years ago and you tokenized it. And then a year later, you started listing the tokens onto these secondary marketplaces. And so they now have been traded for 2 years. And in the third year, when you sell your property, only like 40% of your investors are the original ones. Now, these 60%, there are ways for you to get information from them to connect with you. There are ways to do that. Well, you grew your database a lot. There might be certain scenarios, and there was a resort in Aspen. They started with a few hundred investors, and then they tokenized and eventually ended up with 7,000 investors.
That's wild.
Right? That's what tokenization is all about. And some of those people will become accredited. Some of those people will be able to give you 50 or 100,000. But when you tokenize originally, you're still selling the shares the same way that you are, right? There are people who are like, I'm just going to tokenize and put my entire $20 million property with $5 million equity raises on the blockchain. And the answer is, you clearly don't know what the heck you're doing.
Phenomenal, Neil. So let's talk a little bit about you. Technically, you can hold it for as long as you want. I guess you could just have people keep buying and selling these tokens throughout the hold period. So you're not necessarily beholden to selling, is really what I was getting at also, you know.
It really doesn't change your business plan. You sell because you want to sell the asset. You hold because you want to hold the asset, right? And you might say, what about the rents? The answer is all these technology services. Let's say that 10% of your property is held in tokens. The remaining 90% is regular syndications. Well, at some point, whoever distributes money is going to go onto that platform with 10% of the money and say, please distribute this. And then the platform worries about who the token holder is, whether he's in Japan or sitting in Mon Mars. You don't give a damn, right? You're simply distributing 10% of the rental profits to the platform and let the platform figure it out.
And you said you interviewed with six different platforms. Are there more coming up? Are they coming up rapidly? What are you seeing with them?
They're coming up rapidly because this area is extremely hot from a venture capital perspective. I basically hear new companies every day, twice a day, because I'm in the ecosystem now, right? And so you might say, Neil, why are you even telling people about this, right? The short answer is I'm going to be helping a number of these people build more and more real estate apps on the blockchain. So I want to be seen as not just somebody that tokenizes, you know, my syndications. I have more than enough money for my syndications. But I'm actually looking at building this new blockchain ecosystem, not just for equity, but for all kinds of apps, and be known as the guy that does that. So if you're somebody that is looking to do that and you understand the value of the blockchain versus, let's say, an Amazon web server, come talk with me.
Love it. Love it, Neil. This is freaking phenomenal. Thank you so much. Now, okay, I know we're going to wrap it up pretty soon, but I wanted to ask you another question or kind of put this out there, because one of my friends and partners, he went through this, you know, just to kind of test the waters, and he went and he bought some shares of a real estate property or project rather. It was like a single family home, and it was tokenized. So he just did the process. He paid like $50 per token or whatever, something really cheap, just to kind of see how it worked. And he said the process was ridiculously easy and just really interesting to see. So I guess from an investor standpoint, it's very simple to get into.
Instant gratification is very powerful. You go to a party, Nico, and somebody tells you, oh, anything you buy in Idaho Falls is going to double, right? Today, there's nothing you can do about it. But tomorrow, you'll fish your phone out of your pocket, just like you, and instead of opening the E-Trade app, which you do for stock tips, you're going to open a different app. Maybe it'll be T0, who knows? I don't know who's going to win these wars, and that's what's exciting here. But you're going to type in the city, you're going to see a bunch of assets, you're going to go 50, okay, so it's $50 a token. All right, I'm buying 100 tokens, boom, $5,000. And you're going to turn around and say, hey, I own a multifamily property in Idaho Falls.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah, that tradability can never exist in syndication if you don't do tokens. You see how sexy that is?
Mm-hmm. Is there a high cost involved for the syndicator to get?
It was hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's now tens of thousands of dollars. I assume it's going to come down to thousands in the next 24 months.
Wow. Wow. Talk about power, man. That is amazing. Neil, I want to be mindful of your time. And you are the mad scientist. I am so excited that I got to talk to you today. Everything that you're talking about inspires me and it excites me. And you're doing what you're passionate about. And I can totally feel that. And I love that you're going this route. And I love that you're here to teach and preach about it. So thank you so much. But before we go, I need a couple of things. First, I'm going to ask you a question, and then we're going to get your contact information for people to reach out to you. So first is my question. Neil, let's imagine it was 100 years from now and you had great-great-grandchildren running around and they were as happy as can be, and they wanted to write a book about you. What would you want them to title this book?
He lived and died by the numbers. That's what I want to be known for. It's not sexy and I don't give a shit. I just want to be known as the guy that lived and died by the numbers.
You are doing it, man. You are living proof of that. And thank you for all you do and all you provide to our community. I appreciate you. So let's get the listeners a method of contacting you.
Multifamilyu.com. So it's a website that does webinars. It doesn't sell anything, doesn't sell education or shares. Multifamilyu.com. We have about 25,000 people a year that attend our webinars. There's an upcoming tokenization platform, a webinar. There's an upcoming disruptive trends or real estate trends webinar that's actually coming up this week. And then tokenization, I think, is 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now. There's a bunch of other geeks and dorks and entertaining people that come up with their ideas and their thoughts. So that's the best way to connect with us, because you'll get into our community and then you'll be exposed to all of our offerings when they come out. Multifamily followed by the letter U.com, or simply Google N-E-A-L, Neil Bawa, B-A-W-A. That's it. I'm the only Neil Bawa on the web. So if you read anything good, it's me. If you read anything bad, it's also me.
Neil, thank you so much. I truly appreciate your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you and getting to know you a little bit better and learning about what you're working on. So thank you, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me on the show, Nico.
All right. Hey, Small Axe community. I would like to say thank you for listening to another episode of my podcast, where we show you how to use your small axe to build a lasting empire. Now, if you liked what you heard, it would mean the world to me if you would subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and write a review. Also, if you want to get in touch with me, go to my website at smallaxecommunities.com. Book a call with me. And until the next episode, keep sharpening those axes.